knows about the call is that his call to discipleship was a life-changing event. We're going to see this more as we go through this in our study today. And we're going to see it in a few weeks when we look at the life of Peter as well. But when Jesus calls someone to follow him, it will always be a life-changing event. Now, most of you believe or think that you made a decision for Jesus when you were saved. But can I tell you something? Jesus was looking for you. And Jesus called you, and it changed your life forever. Andrew might have thought that he made a decision that day to follow Jesus. I don't know what was in his mind. But I can tell you that Jesus was there looking for Andrew. And he called Andrew. And Andrew's life was never the same. The third thing that I want you to see about this call is that his call to discipleship was answered immediately. This is impressive. It appears that when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, there was no hesitation. There was no question in their mind. In fact, the text says in verse 20, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Andrew didn't turn to Peter and say, "Hey, Peter, you think this is a good idea?" Peter didn't say, "Hey, let me talk to Dad," because he's the father of the family. He probably was in charge of the fishing part of it, or maybe they were partners. He didn't say, "Let's check with Dad." They immediately left everything they knew about life and followed him. In Capernaum, there is a large house in which they have found in the ruins various fishing implements. And so today it's known as Peter's house. Now, unfortunately, a building has been built over the top of it, a Catholic church. Somebody said that in Israel, the Catholics got all the best sites because they were there first. You go to any famous site in Israel, and there's a Catholic cathedral there. And I don't say it disparagingly. Good for them. But over the top of Peter's house is this rather modern-looking, as I remember. Do you remember, Jim, that way, sort of modern-looking cathedral? And it has a glass bottom, and you can look over down through, and you can see Peter's house down below. And there are two things. If you remember later in Jesus' ministry, it says he went back to Peter's house and with a number of his disciples, and they all lived with Peter. That's where he healed Peter's mother-in-law. So it had to be a big enough house to take care of several extra people, plus fishing implements. So they call it Peter's house there today. And that's where they were. But Peter didn't consider any of that. Andrew didn't consider any of that. When Jesus called them, there was no question in their mind. And that was something that changed Andrew's life forever. He was never the same after that. Now, here's what I want you to see about Peter, or about Andrew. We'll look at Peter a couple weeks. From that very first moment when Andrew met Jesus, he was concerned that others would meet Jesus too. That's the next thing I want you to see, is his concern. Go back to John chapter 1. That's where we're going to see it. We stopped reading at verse 40 when it says that they went and, by the way, there was a second disciple. Andrew's named. We don't know who the second disciple was who followed Jesus. It's likely that it was John. John in his gospel never refers to himself by name. And so it's very possible, because he didn't name the second disciple, that it was John. They followed Jesus, and they spent the day with him. Now it was about the 10th hour. Then verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Andrew and this other unnamed disciple had gone to see where Jesus was staying. John says it was about the 10th hour. That would That would make it around 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Whether they stayed the night with Jesus or not, we're not told. But we are told that the thing on Andrew's heart, the first thing he did when he learned that Jesus was the Messiah, was to go find his brother Peter and bring him to Jesus. He wanted Peter to meet the man he met. He wanted Peter to know what he knew. He wanted Peter to know the Messiah. He didn't keep this good news to himself. He was concerned that those that he loved, those he was closest to, knew what he knew. And can I tell you, that's the kind of people God uses. History tells us that after the resurrection, Andrew became a missionary, and he took the gospel to the area which more recently in history has been known as Russia. Today it's several different countries around the Black Sea, specifically to the nation we call Ukraine today. After he was there and shared the gospel, he then went to Greece. And according to tradition, he was crucified on a cross, but because he felt that he did not deserve to be crucified on a Roman cross the way Jesus did, he asked them to make a cross in the shape of an X. And he was crucified because he never stopped bringing people to Jesus. And that is what he's known for today. One writer put it this way: there are many lessons to draw from Andrew, specifically his ability to bring people to Christ. He went on to write, Andrew brought many to Christ through his ministry, including Peter, the more prominent brother. This willingness to share with others is a defining trait of Andrew for many scholars, which gives us some insight into his personality. Andrew consistently and lovingly invited others to know and believe in Jesus. Now here's what I want to bring this message in this look into the life of Andrew this morning. God uses people who are willing to bring people to Jesus. God uses people who are willing to bring people to Jesus. God uses people like Andrew, people who have discovered who Jesus is and are willing to tell other people about Jesus. It won't always be easy. It won't always be received well. After my Easter message, I got a note on our Facebook account at the church that said, "Stop telling lies." I said, "Okay." I just left it there. You can go look at it. You're going to get some of that, because we don't believe it is a lie. We believe the evidence points to the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that today he's at the right hand of the Father, and we need to be telling people about Jesus. When you look at the biblical account of Andrew, he was faithful, he was concerned, and he was a simple fisherman. There's nothing in the entire biblical record that makes Andrew stand out as someone special. That's because by the standard that we use today, and even the standard of that day, he wasn't special. He wasn't highly educated. He wasn't wealthy. He didn't come from a prominent family in Israel. He isn't presented to us as someone who had a special talent, and everybody came from miles around to hear him sing or to hear him speak or to hear him do something else. He was just an ordinary person. In fact, fishermen and shepherds were at the bottom of the social economic level of that day. Can I say this without demeaning anyone? I don't mean to do that. Andrew would have been the garbage collector of his day. Just an ordinary person who wanted to bring other ordinary people to Jesus. You all know that I love the teaching ministry of Alistair Begg. he wrote this. As we find so many times in the Bible, God chooses to use unlikely individuals in unlikely ways to do what are often unlikely things. Let me read it again. As we find so many times in the Bible, God chooses to use unlikely individuals in unlikely ways to do what are often unlikely things. That describes Andrew. But the results of Andrew's actions went far beyond anything he expected or we would even expect looking at his life. Take just that one incident in his life. Andrew had someone, in this case John the Baptist, point him to Jesus. In turn, Andrew found his brother Peter and took him to Jesus. Peter became one of the great leaders and spokesmen for the early church, a writer in the New Testament, someone who had influence on millions and millions of people and continues to have that same influence today through his writings. All because Andrew was a bringer. Never underestimate the spiritual impact you might have through the life of someone you bring to Christ. Think for a moment about the spiritual impact Robert Eglin had. Think for a moment about the spiritual impact that Edward Kimball had. Think about the spiritual impact that Mordecai Ham had. You don't know those names. But each of them were responsible for bringing millions of people to Jesus because they brought one. Robert Eglin was a simple shopkeeper who led Charles Haddon Spurgeon to Christ. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who led D.L. Moody to Christ. Mordecai Ham was a traveling evangelist who was responsible for Billy Graham coming to Christ. And every one of those men were responsible for millions of people coming to Christ. Because someone brought them. God uses bringers to build his kingdom. You don't have to be anyone special. Just bring them. In fact, and this came out in our adult Bible fellowship class this morning, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble people come to Christ. There are some, but Paul says not many. Most of us are, as Alistair Begg said, unlikely individuals. But when unlikely individuals are faithful and reach out and bring someone to Jesus, great things can happen. I don't even know how to bring this message to a conclusion. I've been debating this since yesterday. I want to challenge you simply to let Andrew, the bringer, speak to you today. I want you to let Andrew, the bringer, be your example, be your challenge. Almost totally unknown. Even in the history of the church, much of what we know about him is tradition. What's been handed down through the ages. Even his death we're not exactly positive of. But we know this. He brought Peter to Christ. And Peter brought millions of people to Jesus. By tradition, Andrew did too. Just as Alistair Begg said, just an unlikely individual doing an unlikely thing. No one in Capernaum ever said, Andrew is going to be a great missionary someday. Nobody said that. But he was. all for the glory of God. Would you let God use you that way? Let's pray together. Father, we are just ordinary people. We don't have great skills. We don't have great education. We don't have great wealth. We don't have a great family name behind us. We're just ordinary people, unlikely people, trying to do an unlikely thing, and that's to let people know about Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to do great things. Not so we can receive the glory, but as the Apostle Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that God might receive the glory. Help Andrew to be a burning influence and a burning example in our hearts and in our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.